I want to actually kind of quickly talk about a couple of like cheating questions I've kind of compiled. Yeah. And this just kind of goes in general. Obviously, I'm mostly coming at it from the receiving end of cheating, but I don't know. I hate using non-monogamy and cheating in the same category, but like when I first opened up with my boyfriend, like even to this day, even with other partners that I have that are, you know, they have like their other primary partners or whatever, like I've had the common thing where we're both still getting used to being out and about with each other or around each other and doing intimate things that we would normally just do with our primary partner. So it kind of feels like cheating, but it's not, because everyone knows about it. We know, like, everyone is aware of everything. So but it still, in the end, still feels, we would say, like there's something wrong, like we shouldn't be doing this. And I think that's us just like destigmatizing our monogamous ways and like, you know, really diving and thriving into, I guess, the polyamorous lifestyle, I should say. But anyway, what makes people cheat? What do you feel makes people cheat? Besides, like, I know, okay, so in that article that I'll be putting in the show notes, it kind of goes into that. They said looks can be part of it, obviously, like a physical attraction, but it's not always that, because most people, or there's a large percentage of people that wouldn't consider the person that they're cheating on more attractive than their primary partner or like their main partner. It's usually right. Like not, they're just not as cute or whatever. And I'm just going to be blunt. The persons that my boyfriend cheated on with, I didn't find physically as attractive as
drag them, girl. Drag them.
I'm just going to throw that, but that's just me. I mean, they're like fairly great looking, but like for me, I was like, I don't know. I knew I looked good and I was like, it's not that. So what is it? But I think from what I remember him telling me, it had something to do with them giving him attention and him liking that attention and wanting that attention. Maybe it was attention that I wasn't giving him at that point. And, you know, it was just it was the attention factor.
I think that was a big thing for me, is seeking attention and validation.
Yeah. Feeling validated and like, yes, having that attention. And I wouldn't necessarily completely say it was relatability. I mean, it just depends on the nature of cheating that happens. It can be all over the place. But what would y'all say? Brian just kind of talked about it, but what would you say made you cheat besides convenience for Aaron and Brian? It was, you know, like you said, attention. What is it about getting attention that makes you kind of like not remember everything else that has like gone on in your life, or like in terms of relationships? If you're with someone for a while and then you seek someone else, or someone else comes around and they're giving you more attention, or they're giving you a different type of attention, what is it about that that hooks you to there and it's hard for you to, I guess, analyze it before other things happen?
Right. I think it's for me, like, I weirdly have a way of being really, really vulnerable and connecting really quick with people that I just meet, and have a harder time doing it with people that I've known longer. Okay. Especially with my partners.
Okay.
So it's not being able to fully communicate my needs to my partners.
Mm-hmm.
And easily being able to get that from a stranger.
Gotcha. Do you also feel like it's because, like, in terms of, like, just strangers in general, like, they don't know your whole life. They don't know, like, your tics. Exactly. They don't know. And it's easier for you to give them all the best of you right now because you know, like, it probably ain't going to go past.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. All right. I'm on the same wavelength. I got you. All right. What about you, Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just one thing that I wanted to say, I feel like, if somebody is like cheating on you and then they say that the reason is that the other person is like hotter, that's like like, absolutely stop dating that person. Like, oh my God. Like,
that's messed up.
Like, yeah. If you're looking for, like, a partner, like, what happens if something, like, really bad happens to you and you're, like, not hot anymore? Like, that cannot be, like, that cannot be, like, the litmus test of your love is, like, how hot you are. Like, that is just, like, beyond horrible. Especially as, like, a woman, like, for a man to, like, try and say that, like, because I know people who have had this situation where it's, like, they've gotten cheated on as like, a woman, and the man's, like, well, you know, you're not as, like, fit or, like, whatever as you used to be. It's, like, take him out with the absolute trash. Like, take him out with the trash. Yeah. Like, that is, like, 100,000 red flags. But I don't know. For me, I mean, and I only have this, like, one instance, but I also do know that, like, in my previous relationship, I would sometimes, like, meet people that I would have, like I'd be, like, excited to, like, meet, you know, like, maybe the guy's attractive, or maybe we just have, like, a fun, like, conversation. But I feel like the real like money for me was that I wanted, like, to, you know, have this, like, adventurous type of life. And I felt like my and that sounds so fucking lame, but it's like, I really wanted to, like, I don't know. I wanted to, like, travel and, like, do theater and, like, move to another place and, like, you know, just, you know, live a certain type of life. And I felt like that those sorts of, like, wants were always treated as being, like, frivolous or, like, immature. And, like,
hold on, Erin, what's your sign?
I'm an Aquarius.
Aquarius.
And I'm an Aries, but I'm an Aries moon and an Aries rising, which, according to my sister, means something important. I'm not really that into astrology.
I'm not either.
My sister said, double Aries, that means you're crazy. And I went, okay, that checks out. But yeah, I don't know. For me, it's always been like, if I can, like, really vibe with somebody on like artistic or, like, I don't know, like, if we can, like, just get hype about some, like, weird symbolic, like, shit and, like, have, like, a really, like, beyond just, like, small talk conversation, I'm like, we're a vibe. I mean, that's for friends too. I mean, that's just for anyone, you know. If you can connect with somebody on that level, then that's fucking great.
I can connect with, usually that's the same way for me, especially when it comes to anything artistic. If someone I know, like, likes either the same song or, like, the same band, like, we are friends for life because we always have that to connect with. And, like, I don't know. That gave me a lot of feels.
Right, well, now. And also just to like, bring, I think that this might be, like, a kind of, like, nice, like, through line of, cause I think what everybody is saying is, like, you are attracted to people who are excited about things. Like, it's attractive. Yes. It's attractive when somebody is, like, excited and, like, passionate about something, whether that be you or a song or, like, whatever. And so, like, I think a lot of times people lose passion, not just for one another, but, like, just for, like, their life, like, in relationships. And sometimes it's because the passion's not there between you, but sometimes you're just not bringing out the best in another person. Like, with my ex, like, you know, I broke up with him. I don't know if you can tell, I still feel horrible about it. Sometimes I think about like what he must, like, think about me at this point, because, you know, I always talk about him so highly, also because I feel like I need to, I feel like I owe him that. But, like, I think about how, like, I feel so guilty about the way that it happened. But I also think about, like, after we broke up, he got, like, super fit and, like, lost 30 pounds. He, like, built a boat with his bare hands. He, like, has since, like, contracted to build, like, his own house. And he's, like, engaged to a girl that seems, like, really nice, and that they seem like they have a lot of, like, the same interests in common. And I, like, look at his life, and I'm like, you would have never had any of these things if I wouldn't have broken up with you. Like, we would have just been in it, like, for the long haul. And he, like, really was, I feel like at the end of our relationship, he was not very passionate about his life. Yeah. He was really, like, not, you know, he was not, like, reaching his highest potential. And I mean, obviously I don't know him anymore, but he really seems like he is. And I think that I didn't bring out the best in him when we were together. I think that I think that our attraction wasn't there because we weren't making each other excited about life.
Ooh, that is a word. I'm so sorry, Erin. I have to think about that, because that is, like, literally, And that's part of I think folks, anyone that's in a relationship and is wondering if they are, like you said, like bringing out the best in each, if you're not bringing out the best in each other, or you're not passionate about something, just know that. I wonder in those instances, especially if couples want to still be together, throuples, couples, whatever, want to still be together at that point, like how can the other partner or partners assist or encourage like that, them to like receive that spark again, you know, like let's say they, you notice that they are just not passionate about something. And instead of like, you know, ducking out, you know, gently or cheating, how can they help? Or like, maybe, I don't know, I'm just spitballing. I mean, I think it comes down to overall just having like conversations about it, also acknowledging it and understanding your role and if you even have the capacity or want to assist them in becoming better, you know?
I think you have to give, I mean, even in the best relationships, like people have ups and downs and like bad times and good times. Like, especially, I think everybody in a relationship and not in a relationship had a bad time the last like 2 years at a certain point because of like COVID and stuff.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah,
I think that the key is like having enough like confidence to like give them, to be honest with them, and then also give them space to do their own thing. Like sometimes them finding their like passion for things doesn't have to include you, but you do have to like acknowledge it, you know? Like, for example,
yes,
my boyfriend is so into professional wrestling. he literally like if he's had a bad day at work, he's like, I had a bad day at work, but I'm so hype about this professional wrestling match, and he will like watch it. And he's like, and I think that it is, you know, I love that he loves it, but I think it is so stupid. But at the end of the day, like, am I going to watch that shit with him? Absolutely. Am I going to let him talk to me about like, you know, who's, you know, doing whatever? I'm going to, because he's passionate about it. And that like fuels
him. That gives you fuel too, a little bit, I would say.
Yeah, like, no, it does. Yeah. It definitely does. Cause you want to encourage, cause I mean, what are you going to do? What am I going to do? I'm going to be like, that's stupid. Like, that is the worst thing you could do to somebody that you love, is try and like yuck their yum about something they love.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause that's what makes them who they are. And you don't want to, if you love someone that much, you shouldn't be wanting to change any part of them. Like, it should be, if there is something you don't like about them, you can't force them to change that. It has to be once they stop liking that part of themselves as well, and they change it on their own. You know
what I mean? There's, life is so hard. It's so hard to find things that like give you like real joy and like excitement. And like, if your partner is able to find something that gives them joy and excitement, as long as it's not like hurting anybody, it doesn't matter if you like it.
Have it.
Let them do it.
If you think it's stupid or whatever, like, get over yourself. You're there to like support them in finding as much happiness as they can. And if you can't do that, if you're going to like make it about you, then like that, you need to look at yourself.
Ooh.
I feel like you just read me.
We all are learning.
No, I'm glad, like everything that you just said, it's like I feel like I needed to hear that, because whenever I was broken up with in my last relationship, I spent so much time hating my partner and resenting them for doing what they like, breaking up with me. And I'm still having a hard time. Like, it's been like 3 years now, like seeing like how much better, like how they've been able to grow and be successful.
No, but I understand what you're saying, Bryant. Like, he was saying that you know, it's so hard for somebody to see somebody like break up with you and then like see them like doing well,
doing
or
better
like,
without you.
Yeah. Because then you feel like, oh, like, was I the problem? But honestly, it's like, it takes two to tango in any situation, you know, it's like you, that doesn't mean that you were the problem, or it doesn't mean that like in my last relationship, I was the problem. The thing is that we were the problem.
Right.
And somebody at the end of the day, I mean, like, I feel like a lot of people are like, the breakup was mutual, but like, I feel like that's never really the case. Like somebody always, for the most part, is like the initiator. And so at the end of the day, it's like, somebody's got to do it. It's just, you're just, if once the relationship is bad, you're just playing a game of chicken to see who's going to do it first, you know?
Who's going to do it.
Yeah.
I think that's what like, what hit me the hardest is like, usually I'm the one that does it first. And like,
yeah,
having
it feels more powerful table, to the be tables the first
turned
person.
On me was yeah. just like, it was, it does. It feels like it's not going to hurt as much, even though it still hurts. But whenever the tables were turned and it was happening to me and getting that gut punch, it was just like, damn.
It's because you want to feel irreplaceable. But the key is that everybody is irreplaceable. Like,
yeah.
No. When you go from one relationship to another, you're not replacing that person. Like I am a completely different person in this relationship than I was in the last relationship. I didn't cheat and then like replace my boyfriend. I just like moved on with my life. And then another person came into the mix, as happens with everybody. So like, I feel like a lot of people's fear is like being forgotten or like being replaced. But I mean, that's the only way you can solve that is within yourself. Nobody's going to do that for you. Cause there's always going to be more people.
Yeah. This world is, they got a bunch of fish out here. I'm just saying.
A bunch.
But, let's kind of wrap up. We definitely went over time and this may be a 2-part episode, but that's okay. That's okay. I want to wrap up and just kind of give some quick advice from maybe all of us. For, let's say, people that are currently cheating, who are afraid of telling their partners that they're cheating, what advice would you give to them?
Man, I can go first, I guess. Okay. There was just that we all looked at each other with this, like, silence. You know? I mean, I think we're all going to say the same thing. And I think anybody who's, like, cheating on their partner and listening to this podcast probably knows that we're going to say that you should absolutely tell them. Yeah. I think that, you know, if for anything, it should be out of the respect that you have for the person that you're with. You know, mm-hmm. you need to have enough respect for them to believe that they will make the decision that is best for them with all of the information. And if you don't give them all of the information, you are putting them at a disadvantage in their own life. And you are not giving, they are not like, you need to know what you're getting into in a relationship and in order to like consent to everything that's happening. And if you're keeping something from them, you're not trusting that they can make the right call for themselves in their lives. And if you fear that if you are going to be honest with the person that you're with, that they're not going to love you, that then, you know, you need to be with somebody that you can be honest with. You need to be with somebody who is going to hear you. And also you need to be able to admit that you fucked up and that you did something wrong. And you also need to be able to practice in the mirror, maybe practice talking to a friend, articulating why you did what you did, because they are going to be hurt, but you telling them is not what's hurting them. You doing what you did is what hurt them. You already hurt them. So now it's just a matter of being able to own up to it. And I think that if at the end of the day, the relationship ends, then, you know, maybe it's because you weren't bringing out the best in one another.
Is this conversation speaking to you right now? Do you feel the self-awareness taking over your body like a real good song? I want you to make a mental note to share the Self-Aware Millennial podcast with someone you love, because sharing is caring and love is not possessive. I'm sorry, y'all, but y'all can't have me to yourself. But for real, y'all know how it feels when someone shares with you, whether it's their resources, their food, their wisdom, or their spouse. Okay, well, some of us. Spread the love. Destigmatize your capitalist mind and practice the gift of sharing. And to continue getting these top-notch conversations,
Rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcast. If you're feeling extra giving, leave a compliment. Come on. You know you want to. Enjoy the rest of the show.
If you are stuck in a cyclically jumping relationship to relationship and perpetually cheating, maybe it's time to take a break and do some real work on yourself. That's what's been helping me. I mean, it's been a very long break, but it was much needed because I know that I'm still not my best self. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be in another failed relationship.
Yeah. I'm here for it. I love that. It's important, especially
go to therapy.
Yeah.
Go to therapy.
Yeah. 100%. Dude. I mean, I can't even tell. I mean, not even just if you've cheated on somebody, but like if you're in general, cause I mean, it's hard, especially when you're in like, you know, relationships, when somebody else is like depending on you, like emotionally, like you've got to be showing up for them. And a lot of times, one thing that I learned, like this, especially this past couple of years, is like, sometimes like you're having a problem with your partner, but it's not a problem with them. It's a problem with you. And you're not, and it's so,
within yourself.
Yeah, it's so easy when you're with some one person all the time to project your own problems onto them because they're there and they're like, they're like built like this, like built in like sounding board for your feelings. And it's so easy to like blame them for all the feelings that you're having when it's much harder to flip that around and be like, why am I acting like this? Like, why do I feel this way when they just did this like small thing? And it's, you know, it's a really helpful to go to therapy if you can afford it.
You know,
yeah.
Do the work to gain self-awareness.
Yes. and I'm going to piggyback off of what just Aaron and Brian just said, but if y'all have been listening for the last couple of episodes, I go to therapy 4 days a week. And so this comes up a lot. And I think what Aaron is really just trying to say is that in terms of when you think that it's your partner's problem or that it's something that your partner is doing, yes, there are instances of that, but it's mostly because your boundaries have been crossed and you're not communicating that. Whether they're small boundaries or big boundaries, if something is bothering you within the context of your relationship that you think it's your partner that's doing, but again, you haven't the partner doesn't know this. So they're just doing it and you're getting annoyed by it, let's say. And it's because your boundaries are being crossed and they have not been communicated to that partner. So I learned that in therapy and I use it in all of my, my relationships.
Yeah, it's like, don't cross the boundary in your relationship as a whole because you failed to set boundaries with your partner.
Exactly. Yes.
But then an important thing is that it is your responsibility then to communicate your boundaries to your partner, but then it's on them to respect those boundaries once you've communicated them to them.
Exactly.
And that's what being in a healthy relationship is being able to meet your partner where they're at, regardless of all their bullshit, and just try your best to understand where they're coming from and know that it's not all about you.
Yeah.
That they're a separate person with their own history and their own shit. And you guys got to figure out how you can best, you know, grow as individuals together.
Yeah. And I'll also, okay. So this is my advice for people that are currently cheating, who are afraid to tell their partners that they're cheating. I really think that it comes down to what both of y'all just said, like just telling them. But I think kind of what we were talking about at the beginning, cheating is so all over the place. If you are,
it's complicated.
It can be complicated. It's not just set in stone. Oh, someone slept with another person. That's not you. Your boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever, their partner slept with someone that's not you. Oh, it's definitely cheating. You know, it can be as simple as just a text message that, you know, someone sends and it's risky and it was not told to you. Like, it's just lying. Like, don't lie. My advice would be, I hate when that happens. My head was like, it had it and then it went away.
Well, as, it's also because you're so emotional. You're feeling your emotions, so you're trying to like sort through them. You know, I think you have come at it from such like a nuanced point of view because it like happened to you, and you know you found out. But like, do you wish that you would have been told sooner?
Yeah, I wish that I would have been told right then and there. I wish I would have just been told, hey, I'm attracted to my coworkers. And honestly, I feel like even if when that starts to happen and you communicate that with your partner early, like right then and there, like that should be, and that's the other thing. That's what I was trying to say. And this is just in terms of like monogamy culture. I think we assume that we just don't do certain things. We don't actually communicate what that person or your partner is actually okay with. So like even just having conversations about, okay, who we are attracted to, like, is that okay in a relationship? Is that the boundary? You know, like there's like having those smaller, like those are the conversations obviously that you don't want to dig into. But some people like myself, when I was still like practicing monogamy, I didn't care. Like, let me know who you attracted to. Like, it didn't really bother me. I mean, it still like brought up some feelings of jealousy, but like, it's better than me, like better than you cheating on me, or better than like me not knowing anything at all and just being like blindsided, you know? So I say like, if you were starting to feel attracted to someone that's not your partner, let your partner know, let them know, please let them know. And if there is a, if you're afraid that they are going to, if you're afraid of their reaction, then I don't know what to, honestly, I don't know what to tell you, because like, this is the circle of life. Like, life happens and you get, like, we are attracted to people. That happens, and you can't control who you are attracted to. Even if it's not, maybe what if this, I don't know. I think about Lizzie McGuire, okay? Lizzie McGuire loves Ethan Kraft. Ethan Kraft was shit, okay? But like, Lizzie would always just like, you know, like, he wasn't that bad, but you know, like, he just wasn't the ideal like person. But like, I think of myself, like if I were Lizzie and I like, and I liked an Ethan Kraft, but I had like a Gordo boyfriend or something like that. And you know, I just tell Gordo, do y'all watch Lizzie McGuire? Did y'all watch Lizzie McGuire growing up? Okay, good.
Yeah. Lizzie McGuire raised me.
Definitely.
Okay, great. And like, I'm telling Gordo about this, right? And you know, Gordo already knows like, ew, like Ethan is not all that or whatever, but like Gordo is still going to be there for you anyway. But like the fact that Lizzie can just let Gordo know and just be open to the fact that she's attracted to Ethan Kraft, normally something just the admittance of it will sometimes have that attraction dwindle away.
I was just about to say that. I was just because I think sometimes you get excited by keeping a secret. And it's like sometimes just saying it out loud makes it less exciting because it's not a secret anymore. And then you realize that you weren't excited by that person. You were excited by the secret.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So in this instance, you're already kind of dwindling it away. And you may not even have to tell the person you're attracted to that you're attracted to them. I mean, you can if that's allowed in your relationship. To do that, but I'm coming from a monogamous standpoint here. Usually you would not, and in respect to your actual partner, but if that's allowed, like at least for me right now, like I don't have boundaries where like I can't tell someone that I'm attracted to them. I'm attracted to them. I will tell a whole room of people if they're all hot that I'm attracted to all of them. Like I don't care, but and my partner's gonna be fine with it. But you know, I think in that nuance, you should make sure early on in the relationship, I wouldn't even say while you're like getting completely serious, like find out from that person what boundaries they have in terms of like what they can tolerate. If it's hard for them to figure out what their boundaries are, which is honestly, we realize what our boundaries are once they are crossed, not necessarily as we're trying to like lay them out. We normally only find out what our boundaries are when they are crossed. And then you gotta be like, yeah, that's a boundary. And I'm so sorry, I didn't tell you this sooner. But make sure that you know what their boundaries are. Make sure you can allow space to find out what those boundaries are as well.
I also think
we are not perfect people.
asking instead of just waiting for them to tell you. Like, if you find yourself like in a situation where you like are like flirt with somebody at a party and your partner's there, be like, mm-hmm. hey, was that okay with you? Like, mm-hmm. we were just messing around. Like, did that make you feel uncomfortable? And like, ask them, like, you know, especially if you know, if you have a partner who's like less open with their feelings, or like less good at articulating their boundaries. If you're like the talker in the mm-hmm. relationship, check in with them.
You gotta check in.
But also trust them when they tell you how right. they feel.
Yes. And once those boundaries are set, respect them. And sometimes those boundaries won't always be there. Sometimes they will change. They will evolve. Just keep checking in to make sure they haven't changed, or that if they have changed, because like things can happen, y'all. Things happen, especially during COVID. Lord, things change. Like, things be changing so quick. They be changing faster than the season.
They do be changing.
Yeah. Well, this was such a wonderful conversation. I wish we could, like, literally, this is going to be 2 episodes. I already know it's going to be 2 episodes, and that's cool. But I appreciate y'all coming on. Now, I don't know if y'all want folks to know where to find you on socials, but if you do, feel free to leave your socials right now so that they can follow you. And if they don't, that's fine.
Y'all can follow me. Okay. It's not a secret. I'm Erin Sheets, like sheets on your bed. My Instagram is Erin E Sheets. Very creative, I know. Don't at me. Follow me on Instagram. I post pictures of my cute little old dog. Fit pics in a high school bathroom. That's what I got.
Yeah, I love it.
Nice. Y'all can follow me at Cornbread Booty on Instagram. and also Cornbread's Kitchen. Whenever I was living in New Orleans, I would do like pop-ups, like Cajun food pop-ups and gumbo. I'm working on hopefully finding some pop-up spots for the winter to do gumbo in New Orleans.
Woo! I'll be there.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
So, stay tuned. And then on my main profile, I just post a lot of like mental health and disability advocacy posts.
Nice.
On my story. So definitely check that out.
Hell yeah. Yeah. See, Jessica, you knew we were going to plug our Instagram. So I told you we're narcissists.
wait. So your Cornbread Kitchen on Instagram?
Cornbread's Kitchen.
Cornbread's Kitchen. I'm trying to put it in right now. Cornbread's Kitchen. All right, I got you.
She's like, gumbo. Hey, y'all should ship to Chicago. Just put it in a freezer and freezer bag.
Yep.
You can't find okra in this fucking city.
Mm-hmm. I already knew that. Mm-hmm. I feel like I went up there one time trying to look for it because I was gonna make gumbo or something. I was just like, I can't find it nowhere.
No, when this I make gumbo, I just make it with like shrimp. It's so sad. It's real sad, y'all.
Oh yeah.
It's all right. It doesn't flood here though, so that's nice.
Yeah, y'all don't have hurricanes, but y'all got everything else. Y'all got that really windy weather.
Yeah, but you know, global warming has really, really helped it out. Hey.
Y'all got some nice summers though. That's what I be gonna try to go to Chicago during the summer.
Oh yeah.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. If I was like a millionaire, like when I make it big, I'm gonna have like a winter house in New Orleans and a summer house in Chicago. I'll just go back and forth.
Yep.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah. Yep. I love it.
I should get a theater and education first, but
yeah. Okay, everybody. Well, if you loved this conversation, please share it with your friends. You can rate highly on Apple Podcasts. Please. No, I'm not gonna beg y'all. Y'all know y'all already like this show, so y'all know this content gets to people who definitely need the affirmation that they're not alone and in their curiosities in the world. So I know y'all gonna come through with those ratings. I'm not even gonna beg because I already know y'all got me. And these episodes also would not be possible without my Patreon community. And thankfully a part of this conversation will be put up there, so y'all get to hear a little bit more about my story with cheating. But the Self-Aware Millennial, again, it's fully funded by my beautiful community on Patreon. If you would like to support the show, keeping everything coming with this awesome content, you can visit www.patreon.com/theselfawaremillennial. And once we get to 50 patrons, I can begin branching these conversations out to local communities. What I think would be really cool is to do a collaboration with you, Brian, while you're here in New Orleans with like your gumbo and everything. And like, I don't know, we just have like little talks or whatever. I don't know. We're going to make it work. We're going to find a way. But anyway,
Gumbo talks
with the Selfaware Millennial and Cornbread Booty. I see it. Okay, well, if y'all want this to happen, y'all, this can't just happen for free. We have to get a sponsor. So sponsor the Selfaware Millennial. I'm a Black woman on a mission to normalize these uncomfortable discussions in communities where they need to happen the most, and with groups of people, and you know that needs to happen the most. If you want to support that happening, make sure you email me at you need to email me at theselfwaremillennial@gmail.com, or you can DM me. I'm not that completely formal, but if I would much rather you email me, but if you send me a DM, or you know, it's fine. I don't really care. I will answer. I'm the one that answers usually, so you're good. But while we're at it, I feel like I don't let folks know about like where they can find me on social media. Now, I have a personal page, which is Jame Explains It All, but my podcast pages can be found on Instagram at The Selfaware Millennial. On Facebook, just search up The Selfaware Millennial. I'm not really on Facebook, so don't worry about Facebook and everything. YouTube, I'm on YouTube. These episodes that you are hearing are also available visually on YouTube as well. And then I'm also on TikTok, y'all. I'm on TikTok. Okay. So follow me on those platforms. Wow. Yeah, I know. I'm actually just starting to get into it. Sometimes I forget I have the TikTok, but when I do remember, I'm like, oh yeah. Like this is, it's a completely different community, and I absolutely love it. It's, I don't know. I feel like I'm a Gen Zer at heart. I'm a Zillennial, as they say, with a Z, Zillennial. So I feel like I'm at home when I'm at TikTok. But I'm also feeling at home when I'm like with Instagram. I can totally tell the age differences, though. I can tell like the maturity levels. I don't know. Like there's just a lot to it. Anyway.
Well, so I do also, if you are a millennial and you are not on TikTok, that's not very self-aware of you. Because that's what all the cool kids are doing.
Yeah. They are. And they're also like really like they're so into
learning with how themselves. To TikTok.
Well, that's okay. We can have like, I don't know, a Selfaware Millennial TikTok learning session, training session course situation. We'll do that. But yeah, y'all.
But follow... don't let Gen Z know about it because they'll drag us if they know that we're doing a DIY.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not that great at it. Yes. I'm not really always on it. It's just so many, so many social media platforms. I just can't handle all of them right now because I'm also like a social media manager for another company. And then like there's just a lot. So, yeah, y'all follow me on all those platforms. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok. And thank you again for listening to another episode of The Selfaware Millennial. Again, I am your host, Jay Bix, and I will see you next time. Bye!